D-Mace, Fink, and Adonic, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, joined by Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, I know you were listening, just like the rest of us, to Mike Borgonzi's news conference. What was your biggest takeaway from what we heard, or maybe what we didn't hear, from Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker within the past hour?
Hey, guys. Look, I think going into this, my thought was, at best, the vast majority of us would come out of this, media, fans, whoever's listening, at best thinking, okay, prove it. And at worst, I think some would come out of this going, yeah, okay, I've heard this before. Okay, go prove. Guess we got to watch you go prove it. You know, like it's one or the other. And I think by and large, I think the reaction today will be somewhere in the middle. I like much of what Mike Borgonzi had to say. I'll say like the live tweets and posts on X during the first hour with Brinker, it's extremely hard to dive into the context of what those posts are. I want to hear him say it or watch him say it more than anything. I think that deserves a lot more context there. And, you know, Stillman and others who have been there will certainly give us that. Here's the thing. I understand there is the hierarchy of who's in charge and doing what. At the end of all of this, guys, I think the important thing that they have to get right is that they know what they don't know. Because they don't have a ton of experience in that building right now. There's a lot of people either learning on the job or have been on the job for a very short amount of time, and they're adjusting to things. So if they get that part right, which is extremely difficult to do, when you don't have someone who's, you know, has the skins on the wall, so to speak, and has been in certain experiences. I mean, they've been in the rooms when these things have happened. Have they made the call? What it's like to feel the weight of the pressure to make the call on something? That's the intriguing part to watch here. And that's Chad Brinker's ultimate decision there. I mean, he is the football czar. He's the executive of all things football. I believe Borgonzi. I believe what they're saying whenever he's going to make the draft picks. But the tiebreaker scenario, I mean, that's clearly been some type of issue, because now Brinker is in charge of making that call.
There has been a lot of ambiguity regarding the Titans' power structure over the past couple of years. And we have some texters on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, talking about this structure and why do we spend so much time talking about it? Well, this organization is in disarray. And it has been for several years. Well, not several. It's in disarray for a few years now. And as they are trying to build this thing back up, fans want to know who is in charge of making these decisions. And although Borgonzi did say during the news conference that he'll have full authority of the free agency process and he'll pick the players and he'll run the draft, I felt then Chad Brinker, either this morning when he held his news conference that nobody could listen to, or even at this news conference, I felt like Borgonzi said something about, you know, I'll have full authority. But then Brinker would say something that seemed to undercut that. I just felt like we did not come away from the news conferences today with any more clarity on how this operation is going to be run. And I think that is an issue with Titans fans.
And we would see things, I think, with a clearer view if this hadn't been a change in philosophy or a change in overall the mission statement of how they're going to do things. We've seen the change over the last 3 years in the structure and doing either the 180-degree turn or pointing to what they're going to do different and why it's going to work. I mean, much of what think about what we heard last year with, you know, collaboration. You know, I think what we're seeing and what we're hearing today is a mixture of both. Like, that's why you have both ends of the, you know, full authority type deal. And they're trying to mix in everyone's going to be very collaborative in this process. It's hard to do whenever you have one person making the call. And I think that what they're trying to push across is Borgonzi's making the call unless Brinker is the tiebreaker. That's just, for whatever reason, very difficult for them to explain. And they're, for whatever reason, they don't want to explain it that way. Let me also add in, I've done a lot of thinking about this because my assumption was, and I think everyone would assume, Brinker's just going to go with the Green Bay guy. The fact that he went with Borgonzi, I know he's got a history with the guy, but the fact that he went with Borgonzi, they don't share an agent, which I think is important because a lot of times these GMs are interviewing people based on their agency, trying to get either an interview rep, or they're trying to pair up guys that they know and they don't really know each other. So it's an arranged deal through the agency. That's important to note because they clearly made a call based on what he wanted to do, not what he felt like, you know, he had to do. This can work. I don't want to shoot it down and say it can't work, but it hasn't worked when we've listened to what they've put forth in the structure elements of things over the last 2 years, especially. So what moves, what's going forward that will be any different? It's got to be the clarity of it. And that's where we're still scratching our head a bit, because again, I think we sit here today and we say we absolutely believe what and are engaged in what they're saying moving forward because we haven't heard this before. We have. And that's why I'm saying, I think that at best coming out of today, you had to have this kind of, okay, you know, kind of a very stern but believable response of, okay, go prove it, you know, go show us. And I think at best, that's what they got out of today, even from the naysayers, and others are probably just kind of an eye roll going, well, you're in the position, so you're going to have to go prove it or not. We'll see in a year.
The way I look at it is, it's just like an election. Listen, if you were for the guy before he got here, then or you didn't have no opinion before he got here and you listened to him, you probably formed the opinion of, hey, I like what he says, you know, he's been in Kansas City. But if you had a bad sort of outlook or bad perception of this whole situation, I don't think you walked out of it saying, oh, I feel much better now. I think you of it thinking, man, I'm in the same place I was in before I got there, in regards to what's going on as far as the structure of this team.
But Mace, I'm with you, man. I don't even think it's about Borgonzi, though. Mm-hmm. If it's just Borgonzi, I think everyone's in line with what he's saying, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there wasn't a lot of detail. There wasn't. It was very surface level. But, you know, we can look back on what we've heard in years past and say the same thing. But it's just about what's gone on with the detail in between press conferences of this month over the last several years. Mm-hmm. And it's that lack of clarity there that everyone's, you know, trying to figure out and scratching and clawing to get in terms of information. And look, that they want to let me give an example. They want to obtain draft picks. You know, they want, what, 12 of the top 100 over the next 3 years. These are the two guys that we are told were leading the charge and negotiating everything for the Legarius Sneed trade for a third round pick. So like that's an example of giving up assets and then now saying that they're going to obtain assets. Now Kansas City did that, but I mean, Mike Borgonzi, if the, what PK was pointing this out, and I have no reason not to believe it from Kaharski, would Borgonzi trade Legarius Sneed again? That's a question to ask. And you know, Brinker was on the other end of that. Again, I'm just going based on what's been reported and with what I heard today. It's a different philosophy than obtaining veteran draft picks or veteran players for an extremely valuable draft pick that they're now saying they wish they had.
Now, do you make of anything that Amy was not here today because she was at the Rand Carthon as well as the Brian Callahan, but she chooses not to, for whatever reason, she chooses not to be here with another, this is a monumental hire, I believe, because of the track they've been going down, the road they've been going down, and it hadn't been good over the last couple of years. So with that being said, this is a monumental hire. Why are you not here? And this goes to, you know, what the perception the fans have of her, an absentee owner or owner that meddles and then leaves and don't know what's really going on.
Look, all the only thing that cures that mindset is winning, you know, winning. And she'll be the owner that tailgates with fans prior to games. You know, that the mindset will flip on Amy Adams Strunk. back and forth. I mean, that goes on with any organization. I think her not being there, I would say is expected, quite frankly. Maybe you guys disagree, but this is in line with exactly the way they laid out things through that press release and through, well, if not a press release, through the article at TennesseeTitans.com with Jim White's article with the quotes. Burke Nyhill clearly said that everything else outside of football is he's overseeing over that. And Brinker is the executive in charge of football. That guy was there, and he more or less it's his department, and it's on him. Well, now it's on him and Borgonzi, and we'll see how much they disagree. I doubt they disagree a whole lot. I mean, I don't know why you hire someone and why you take a job with someone that has the type of power Brinker does if you're not going to see eye to eye on many things. And the question really isn't about what they do with number one, because they can answer that question fairly easily. There's only one pick between now and pick number two, and it's the Tennessee Titans. They'll have that figured out before draft day even comes. But the rest of the draft is really where you start to see how they maneuver and how they manipulate the draft to get what they want. And if it's Brinker that wants to make a move, it's going to be Brinker's call. But it's still Borgonzi who's making the picks. I think that there's still, you know, a bit of there's plenty of questions there. Those are the questions we have. Amy Adams Strunk has already made it clear that Brinker is the tiebreaker. He has full authority.
You're right. He's making the pick.
Yeah. But
Brinker's actually making the decision. You can go. I made the decision. Here, Willie, go ahead and call Goodell and tell him this is who we want to pick.
And hey, I you're right. I mean, I'm
saying that tongue in cheek. I'm kidding, but
I know. Yeah. But like, if we've ever been in a meeting, there's still a lead. Someone's in charge of the meeting, even if that person that's in charge isn't leading the meeting. You know what I mean? Like, you're still going to throw out questions and ideas, and you have some collaborative assets or aspects to it. But after the meeting, there's still like one, two, maybe three people that get together in an office and still discuss what just happened and then come up with the consensus. And the consensus is who's making the decision. That is always going to be Chad Brinker.
Yeah, I think you can't blame Borgonzi for things that have happened when Brinker was around. I think all the questions are surrounding Brinker and his ability to execute this. I agree with the philosophy of it doesn't really matter what your title is. Your title could say something one way, but it really doesn't mean anything. It's how you work together. So let's just see how it works. I think there is some skepticism that Brinker could pull it off just because they've struggled so much. Here's one thing, Hud, I wanted to ask you about, and that is I was a little, I shouldn't say surprised, because I knew there was so much that was going to revolve around who makes the final call, et cetera. But I didn't hear a whole lot of expectation level, how long Borgonzi thinks it's going to take to build a roster that he's grown accustomed to for Kansas City. If he thinks it's realistic that you could fill all the holes in 1 year. He didn't have to say rebuild in my mind, but I didn't think there was a line of questioning that pinned him down on that. He kept it pretty vanilla and he stayed away from that topic.
Yeah, and the big question too, Willie, is quarterback. Like, which way they want to lean, or, you know, if you're talking about this job, aren't you talking, are we going veteran, are we going rookie, and how you view things right now? I mean, that's imperative to answer the question you're bringing up too.
Yeah, and it's early. I think I've heard more than one general manager saying, hey, look, I just got here. We're going to start this process. I'm going to start really getting down and dirty with what we have and what we don't have. But I think you should be able to understand enough of where they are to be able to give people a picture that, hey, this is going to take a while. You know, I don't think he emphasized it very much, especially after what Amy Adams, I think Amy Adams was the one in that release that set the bar higher than it should have been, and that put everybody in a bad spot when she said, we've got the great young quarterback. We've got all these great young players. We just need the right coach. And I think they're going to learn from that. But I think I was looking for even more of a, hey, look, we've got the first pick for a reason. There's amazing things happen in this league. There's always a team that turns it around. But realistically where we are right now, this is going to take a little time.
Yeah, and you know, it's you know, when she said that, she actually said in her own quote, she was unapologetically she was unapologetic about having high expectations. So, I mean, I that hasn't changed. Just look at her moves each offseason since then. Like that has not changed, and I don't think that will. So I think that's part of it. There's you have an owner who wants to win, that is willing to spend money to do so, is willing to pay people that aren't working for her to not work for her, and to go pay new people, and then and assign roles that are, in her mind, definitive of who has power, and then those people delegate. But within that, you have those that are making decisions, realizing where they are on the roster. They're telling us that the roster isn't good enough. I mean, we know that. I mean, they know that. They've said that. But then you have the ownership is saying, yeah, we have higher expectations than where Mike Vrabel was. We certainly have higher expectations than where we were this past year. So the pressure's on not just to gradually staircase this thing, Willie. They need to show improvement and development. And that's really the key here. It's how long does it take? It cannot take them that long at all to show improvement and development. Where they want to get back to the postseason may take a year or two, whatever. But they have to show that they're in line with doing that. And that's what's held back the roster. And why she's made the move she has is because she doesn't see any step forward in the process of getting back to where her high expectations are. That I think that's the key for this group is they don't need to set the bar so low that they're looking 3 years ahead. I think the near future is just as important for them as the three-year plan, but they have to stay within a three-year framework in order to achieve the goals that they ultimately want to build the roster back. But they have to build back the top end, the upper crust of the roster to a point where they're showing that they're headed towards their ultimate goal. They haven't done that.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow joining us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick as he does every week. Hutton, great stuff as always, my friend. Talk soon.
Yeah. Hey, and draft, develop, retain. That's what they haven't been doing.
I haven't seen that on a T-shirt yet. Have they printed those T-shirts yet?
They should. It'll be in the facility probably. Look, it sounds so simple. Every organization wants to do it.
The DDR,
man. Every organization does it.
That's right.
They've got to do it.
Thanks, Hutton.
Hey, guys, thank you. Always enjoy this.
You have to draft players that you end up wanting to retain.
Exactly.
They haven't wanted to retain some of these guys.
Yes. Step one,
no doubt.
Draft. Step two.
They could have retained Caleb Farley. That probably wasn't a good idea.
No.
They didn't want to.
No need to retain.
We shall see, my friend. Hutton, thanks as always.
Yeah, see you guys.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your reaction. We've got lots of texts to get to. You can call us as well. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.